Tonight in Cleveland, with a balmy temperature of, by my weather app, 12 degrees Fahrenheit. 12 degrees Fahrenheit in the city of Cleveland, AEW presented its Beach Break edition of Dynamite. Now, I am not really sure why Tony Khan decided to do a show called Beach Break in Cleveland in late January, but I have dressed for the occasion. I was told that tonight was going to be a beach break, so I busted out my suntan lotion. You got to wear some suntan lotion here. I've got my beach towel. There's a blizzard about to hit New York this weekend. I've heard so many different things about how many inches we're going to get. We're going to get 2 inches of snow. We're going to get 20 inches of snow. So I just figured, you know, I'm going to enjoy my time here on the beach. I'm going to enjoy my time on the beach here tonight. I just need a good pool or a good midnight swim. We had to open the show tonight. One of the two featured matches promoted for tonight's show was a ladder match between Cody Rhodes and Sammy Guevara to crown an undisputed TNT champion. Cody was the TNT champion, and then, of course, he got either COVID or he was potentially exposed to COVID, could not appear on Battle of the Belts a few weeks ago, and so he ended up with an interim TNT champion. Sammy Guevara beat Dustin Rhodes. It seemed kind of pointless, because why crown an interim champion if Cody is going to be back in a week? Tony Khan apparently had an idea, which was to build to a big match they could promote for Dynamite. That was tonight, a ladder match. And they opened the show with it, and I have to say, I was blown away by some of the risks. I mean, both guys. I don't want to just credit one over the other here, but Sammy Guevara is a fucking madman. And the things that he did to his body tonight was just beyond insane. But what we ended up with is one of the greatest matches that I've seen in AEW's short history. I thought that that match was absolutely beyond insane. Some of the spots and some of the risks that they took and that we saw in that match. And when it was over, I just thought to myself, boy, I would hate to be the people that have to come on after those two people. I would hate to be the following few matches after Cody and Sammy went out there and did what they did. They ended the show with an unsanctioned lights out match between Adam Cole and Orange Cassidy. This has been building now for a few weeks. You know, they've been feuding with each other for a while. I know not everybody is a big Orange Cassidy fan. A lot of people are wondering, why is Adam Cole toiling away with somebody like Orange Cassidy? The reality is, Orange Cassidy is one of the more popular babyfaces on the AEW roster. He is a fan favorite. He is one of their biggest stars, one of their biggest homegrown stars. And so it's not as if they're putting Adam Cole on, you know, Rampage in there, feuding with some scrub. So he got the main event spot tonight on Dynamite. When this show was over, though, it was very clear to me what the real main event was. And it was not Adam Cole against Orange Cassidy. Nothing was topping what we saw in that opening match. The main event was not as good as the ladder match that we got to open the show. And in fact, I think when I really look up and down the show tonight, there was nothing offensively bad, but the word I keep coming back to when I look at everything that was in the middle on tonight's show, to steal a word from MJF, played out as it may be, is mid. I thought a lot of the show tonight was very mid. It was all about the ladder match. That really was the main thing that I would tell people to go out of the way to watch if they did not see tonight's show. I see a lot of disappointment online. Oh, no Johnny Gargano. They were in Cleveland. They were expecting Johnny Wrestling to be there. And I even said on the podcast, I said, maybe we'll get Johnny Gargano in Cleveland. We'll see. No Johnny Gargano. And I see already people on my timeline when I put the poll up. Oh, my, where was Johnny? So disappointing. Hey, you talked it into yourself. AEW didn't promote anything. Tony Khan, even for all the times Tony Khan talks about big surprises, we got big surprises. I didn't hear him say anything about a big surprise for tonight's show. We got a surprise. You wanted a big surprise. You got one in the main event. You had Danhausen making his AEW debut tonight. I don't know if it was a one-off, quick cameo, or if he's going to stick around. But we did get a Danhausen appearance in the main event. That was your big surprise. No Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano is preparing for the birth of his baby boy. So it appears that he is not going to be wrestling anywhere, showing up anywhere, at least until after the baby is born. So if you are a Johnny Gargano fan, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer. Hey, Dez, I saw you earlier, just became a channel member, and Tuxedo T Servo just upgraded his membership to Sound Off Legend. Brother, thank you very much. Tuxedo is awesome. We have Tuxedo in the chat with us every single week. Oh, my suntan lotion is gone. Look at that. My nose absorbed it. Either that or it was the lights here. It just kind of melted away. We're going to get into the whole show. We're going to start top to bottom, even the mid stuff, which included a CM Punk segment with MJF that was not bad, but I was not as in love with it, perhaps, as other people were, and I'll explain why that was. Super chats are open. I will be reading them a little bit later on in the stream, as I do every week. I will hang out with you guys, answer your questions. We'll read some super chats. And as some people had requested, there is a brand new super chat. There is a brand new $30 super chat. It replaced an old one. The new $30 Bully Ray super chat. Now with audio. So that's a new one I just added for those who are interested. But let's get into this opening ladder. I know. I mean, all I saw all day was, how do you have a beach break show in Cleveland in January? I understand that they're going to make this an annual thing. If you're going to do beach break, literally the only beach theme thing about tonight's show was the name. It's not even like they had some special set. They had like one little lounge chair next to the announcers. That was it. There was a segment on the show with Tony Schiavone earlier in the day interviewing a couple of Team Taz members on the beach in the snow. Why the fuck was there a beach break show in January when you could have saved it for a more seasonal location? Really make a theme show out of it, right? WCW had the right idea. There has not been another company since the death of WCW that has been able to master the art of the spring break-esque type show. Those shows were fun. Those shows were fun. It's like they just put together some graphics that said beach break. I honestly think this review here, as we go along and I put some stuff up on screen, is going to be more of a beach show than the one that AEW gave us tonight. So I don't know what to tell you. There's no good answer. No good answer. It doesn't make any sense. But let's talk about the opening match. They went right into it. They went right into the ladder match to crown an undisputed TNT champion. Cody Rhodes against the interim champion, Sammy Guevara. I feel like a lifeguard here. That's right, low-key. Low-key lean in the chat. I went more all out for this theme than AEW did. Anyway, both belts hanging above the ring. No entrances. So Cody did not get his elaborate entrance. They just went right into the match. They immediately brawled into the crowd. Cody clotheslined Sammy hard over the barricade back to the ringside area. And Cody is so proud of himself that he starts high-fiving fans in the crowd. He turns his back. He's high-fiving this guy. He's high-fiving that guy. And as he's doing this, what he doesn't see, because his back is turned, is that Sammy Guevara is now coming back at him, flying over the guardrail. And as he soars towards Cody, he catches him for a cutter on the floor. Now, he was trying to give him a cutter, and he kind of did. I mean, he didn't really, as Jim Ross even pointed out on commentary, he didn't really get all of it. So he kind of gave him a partial cutter. At that point, they showed Scorpio Sky sitting up in the upper deck somewhere with Dan Lambert. We didn't see them again. We didn't hear from them again. There was no big segment with Dan Lambert this week, which was probably good. But they were there. They were watching because Scorpio Sky should be next in line for a shot at the TNT title. Cody hit Sammy with a superplex. This again, we're going to go from spot to spot here. And it just, with increasing levels of danger and absurdity, were the high spots in this match. It's hard to do a ladder match today. I mean, it's hard to do a ladder match if what you are trying to do is come up with some innovative spots that people haven't seen before to kind of wow them, and you're trying to increase the level of danger. You're trying to find unique ways to use the ladder, maybe ways that people haven't seen before. It's hard to do. It's not hard to do a ladder match, though. You can do a basic ladder match like Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon did back in 1994. You know, is the crowd, when it's over, going to look at that and say, oh, what a great ladder match, right? They've been so spoiled by all of these ridiculous high spots and multiple ladders and plunder and everything else. So you could do a ladder match like that, but we don't really get ladder matches like that anymore. So what do? They keep upping the ante. And one of the things I think that made this match worked, there were no less than three or four different spots in this match that I don't think I've ever seen before in a ladder match. That's not an easy thing to do. You know, try to come up with spots that haven't been done to death in the past. So one of the reasons I liked this match was we got a lot of unique shit here. Well, one of the cooler spots was Cody delivering a delayed superplex to Sammy Guevara off the top of a very tall ladder. They got some hang time on this suplex. And when you're doing a move like that, you know, you look at it in a kayfabe way. I mean, who's really getting the worst of it? I would almost think that Cody, the one delivering the move, he got it as bad, if not worse, than Sammy did. But they fell from a very long distance and came crashing down to the mat. Then we headed into the first picture-in-picture break of the show. When they came back, Cody had the ladder set up inverted in the ring. So he had the ladder upside down, and the ladder was open. Okay, it was open in the shape of a V. And he slammed Sammy abdomen first across the metal beams. Again, a very basic spot, but I don't recall seeing that done before in a ladder match. I'm sure somewhere it's been done on an independent show, maybe, or an Impact pay-per-view that, you know, very few people probably saw. But that looked painful. So I like that spot. Cody applied a figure four to Sammy with his legs through the rungs of the ladder, trying to take his legs out. Smart strategy in a ladder match. That way Sammy can't climb. Sammy, though, made a comeback. And he went for a springboard move from the apron. Cody, though, threw the ladder at him. So before he could even hit whatever it was that he was trying to go for, maybe another cutter, Cody threw the ladder at him, and down went Sammy. We had two ladders set up in the ring. Cody starts climbing one of the ladders. He begins his ascent up one of the ladders. Sammy Guevara climbed to the top rope in the corner. The other ladder was positioned right in the corner. Sammy is climbing, and this is the spot that I made reference to a little bit earlier. This is a spot that is going to be, and if it isn't, then these people don't know what they're doing. This is a spot that should be replayed over and over in highlight packages for years to come in AEW. Sammy climbs to the top. He sees Cody on the other ladder, and he's trying to figure out, okay, how do I stop this guy? What do I do? He propels himself up onto the very top of the ladder in one fluid motion. He propels himself, he lands on top of the ladder, and then as quickly as he lands on top of the ladder, he jumps off, he comes soaring through midair, and he catches Cody, who was on the other ladder. He grabs him for a cutter and takes him all the way down to the mat. I don't know how tall that ladder was. If it was a legit 15 feet, it was probably in that 12 to 15 foot range. It was a long way down, but it looked fucking amazing. It's hard to pull off a move as cleanly as he did when you're that high up. You only have so much control over your body and how you're going to land. I mean, there's such a small margin for error in these things. This thing was fucking perfect. He could not have nailed this any better. If this is not in the open of the show starting next week, then they need to get rid of their director and find somebody new. This spot was unbelievable. Unbelievable. This was the spot of the match. This was the moment of the night on this show. AEW put it up on their Twitter. I retweeted it. If you didn't see the show, it's a 20-second video. You'll see what I'm talking about. Just an amazing spot. Then we had both ladders set up side by side, and both men were about halfway up, Cody on one, Sammy on the other, in the middle, right? So picture the two ladders, Cody is here, Sammy is here. Cody grabs Sammy, and gave him a twisting crossroad. Well, I guess all crossroads are twisting, but he gave him a crossroads off the ladder down to the mat. And Sammy took a hellacious bump. Sammy, when he takes these crossroads, he's taken them from Cody. He took it, I think, in the match with Dustin. Yeah, he puts a little something extra on it, and it looks like he spikes himself right on his head. So now imagine him coming off the ladder, taking that kind of bump. You got to be careful you don't break your fucking neck. So he took a hellacious bump on that. Cody then climbs one of the ladders. Sammy comes back. He somehow manages to come back here. I guess if you were looking for Sammy Guevara to do a lot of selling in this match, maybe you were you might have been a little disappointed. I wouldn't say that he was a master seller in this match. But then again, how many people are watching ladder matches these days expecting there to be, you know, proper sell? I mean, think about it. Think about the abuse that these guys are taking, right, in kayfabe, in these ladder matches. This guy had his legs wrapped in the ladder when Cody put the figure four on him. And 2 minutes later, he's climbing the ladder and he's jumping around like it's nobody's business. I mean, it's just, I can't excuse it, but it's just sort of everybody does it. And you just kind of have to turn your brain off. Sometimes it's a little more egregious than other times. I do appreciate the people who will remember that their arm or their leg was being worked over, and then every now and then they'll do a little limp, they'll do a little sell job. Wouldn't say Sammy was selling great in this, man. How much of it would have been selling anyway? The fucking abuse this guy was taking? I'm not so sure he had to sell. He's going to be feeling this in the morning. He's probably feeling it right now, I guarantee it. I'm feeling a little drafty in here. I'm ready to jump in the pool. I'm going to be jumping in the pool here in a minute. So Cody is climbing. Sammy comes back, and he climbs onto Cody's back. He's like a child, clinging to his father, as his father is climbing up the side of the mountain. And he won't let go. And Cody reaches up. Remember, they have two belts hanging from this apparatus that's, and WWE does this. When they did, yeah, remember the match with Orton and Cena? When they had that unification match? I think it was at TLC all those years ago. They have that kind of golden structure or whatever that the belts hang from. So Cody grabs onto the structure. He grabs onto the hardware. And he's trying to pull and he can't. And all of a sudden, both guys, they come off the ladder. Now they're just hanging. And the referee, Paul Turner, he moves the ladder out of the way. So now they're just hanging there. Sammy is the first one to fall. He takes a spill. He falls down. Cody is trying now. He's hanging. But he can't pull the belts down. Cody follows. He falls to the mat, unable to retrieve both belts. So Cody goes back to work on Sammy's leg on the floor. He places it in one of the ladders. He's about to do some damage when all of a sudden, here comes Sammy's best friend. Here comes Fuego del Sol. How many times do we see Fuego del Sol on AEW Dynamite? Not very often. Not very often. Of course, if you watch Sammy's vlog, Fuego is in the vlog every week. So if you are a hardcore avid follower of all the social media stuff, then you know that Fuego is good friends with Sammy, and you would know that. But we never see Fuego on the show. Here comes Fuego del Sol. He runs down to the ring to do what? He runs down to the ring to try to talk Cody out of whatever he's about to do. Dude, it's a fucking ladder match. It's a ladder match with two championships hanging above the ring. Cody's response was the appropriate one. He got in the ring, Fuego followed, and when Fuego got in the ring, Cody kicked him in the gut, and he gave him a tiger driver, and he dropped him on his fucking head. Well deserved. It's a ladder match. You interfere in the ladder match, you get dropped on your head. Goodbye, Fuego. So Cody gets back into the ring. Or Cody is already in the ring. Sammy is trying to get into the ring. Sammy goes for a springboard move. Cody catches him with a boot to the gut, just like he did to Fuego. Before he can hit him, though, with a tiger driver of his own, Sammy throws him out to the floor. Sammy hits the ropes, and he hits a tornado dive out over the top rope onto Cody on the floor. Shout out to Steven Chapa. What's going on, Steven? I hope you're having a good... There's the Bully Ray. There he is. Bully the Clown. You asked for it. You got it. Your $30 Bully the Clown Super Chat. Thank you, Steven. So after hitting the Tornillo, Sammy picks up Cody and he hits the GTH, the Go to Hell. And when he hit this move, you can hear the smack of the knee right against the side of Cody's head. Made a loud noise. So Sammy takes Cody's prone body and lays it across the ladder bridge. There was a ladder bridge that was set up outside earlier in the match. And he lays Cody across the ladder bridge. He climbs a taller ladder. So you know exactly, you know what's coming, right? What kind of dive is Sammy going to do? Is he going to kill himself? That's really the only question. And Sammy climbs to the very top of the ladder. And he hits a senton down onto Cody, though the ladder did not break. So Sammy, when he hits the senton, he bounces off Cody, and it's almost like his own body bent. And then he hit the floor. It looked like he took the worst of it even more than Cody did. It looked like Sammy broke his fucking back. That's what it looked like. And again, I don't know how much of that was selling and how much of that was him saying, I shouldn't have done that. But another crazy spot from Sammy Guevara. So, a couple minutes go by. These guys are back in the ring. They're both climbing the ladder. We're headed for a photo finish. They're climbing the ladder. Sammy, though, reaches up. He grabs the belt holder, and he swings it right into Cody's head. One of the belts hits Cody in the head. Cody takes a tumble off the ladder. Sammy reaches up, unhooks one belt. They ring the bell before he could even unhook the second one, but then he unhooks the second one. And Sammy Guevara wins the ladder match. Sammy Guevara is your undisputed TNT champion. He is the victor here in this match. Arms outstretched, holding up both belts. This great visual of Sammy after all the punishment that he took in this match, standing there, standing tall, like Razor, right? Razor Ramon with both Intercontinental belts, arms outstretched to WrestleMania. This was, I think, one of the greatest matches in AEW history. This will go down as one of the best matches that this company has produced. It will go down as one of their best openers. Again, how do you follow this? How do you follow this? How do you come back after a match like this and expect to keep the crowd when they have seen everything that they saw here in this match? And I did see a lot of people talking about, oh, how come the crowd isn't louder and all of this stuff. I don't know, because I hear from people who were in the building saying, we were loud. Did it come across that way on TV? And that's not always the case. So I don't know if it's a matter of they don't mic their crowds as well as they should. I mean, there's just some buildings you're going to be in and the crowd is just not that hot. I mean, the people for the most part seemed into a lot of the stuff on this show. So again, I don't know if it's the miking or what. I didn't get the impression the people in Cleveland were sitting on their hands. But they reacted big to this match and to the finish of this match. And yes, it was a very spotty match. Yes, it was. It was a spot fest. It was a very spotty match. I just highlighted four of the biggest spots in the entire match. But I like the fact that they came up with unique ways to use the ladder as a weapon. That I liked. I liked that aspect of the match. Fuego had no business out there. I don't know why he came out. I guess, you know, they wanted to add some emotion to the... It wasn't even the finish. He really had no business coming out. Fuego did not have to come out. He did not need to have that moment in the match. But it was a lot of fun to watch. Even better, I wasn't expecting Sammy to win. The biggest shock to me was that Cody lost. I just as soon figured that Cody was going to retain and they were going to let him run with it for a few more months until somebody like a Wardlow or a Hook, you know, months and months down the road, maybe would take the title from him. Now look, Cody could get the belt back. Just because he lost it tonight doesn't mean that he can't win it back. It could be him and Sammy again, for all we know, Revolution. And Cody could be the TNT champion for a fucking fourth time, fifth time, whatever it would be. I guess it would be probably the fourth time. So let's not pretend that Cody can't win the belt back. But it makes me wonder, you know, did they have Cody lose to add to the speculation about him and his future in this company? Right, we had that story last week. Cody Rhodes working without a contract. Oh, is he going to be in the Royal Rumble? I mean, again, I could laugh all day long at the people who actually started buying into those rumors. No, Cody Rhodes was never going to be in the Royal Rumble. Cody Rhodes is not going back imminently to WWE. Cody is not going anywhere. Whether he has signed a new contract already and we just don't know, or he will sign a new contract, Cody is staying right where he is. Plain and simple. So there really is not a lot of drama from where I sit. But now that he's free of the TNT title, maybe they milk this and they say, oh, Cody's got no contract and he just lost the belt. Oh, maybe he is going to leave. Question is, how many people are going to buy into that? Because I'm not one of them. And you shouldn't be either. But maybe that plays into why they took the title off him. Maybe they want to lean in a little bit more into these, you know, into these rumors. But this was fantastic. I love this. So on a snowy beach in Cleveland, Tony Schiavone is standing there freezing his fucking nuts off. This poor guy, he goes, it's really cold out here. I don't know, it's pretty balmy in here. Enjoy, I look like a fucking lifeguard. I just need my whistle. Out on the snowy beach, Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs were being interviewed by Tony Schiavone. Powerhouse Hobbs challenged Dante Martin to one more match. So we're going to get it again. We're going to get Dante one-on-one against Powerhouse Hobbs. Hobbs better win this time. Ricky Starks issued his own challenge to Jay Lethal to an FTW title match next Friday. Not this week, but next week on Rampage in Chicago. So they're holding off on that match a little bit because they want to wait until they get to Chicago next week. And then we'll get Jay Lethal challenging for the FTW title. We had the hometown boy from Cleveland. Don't call me Gargano. It was Wardlow. The only hometown boy that we needed on the show tonight was the homegrown AEW talent, Wardlow, the one who they're building, the one who's going to be a monster babyface in 2022 for this company. Wardlow comes out in his hometown, gets a big reaction, tells Sean Spears, you stay. Stay on the ramp. That's a good thing Sean Spears comes out with a chair because all he had to do was open up his chair and he could take a seat right there on the ramp. It was 2-on-1, Wardlow 1-on-1-on-2 against two men making their AEW debuts, Elijah Dean and James Alexander. Shout out to the other James Alexander, friend of mine, listener of the podcast. This was not the James Alexander. I know James would have held up a little bit better in this match. Shout out to his BWA days. This did not go very long. Power bomb to one guy, two power bombs to the other. Back to the first guy, three more power bombs. The last one was onto his partner, and Wardlow stacks him, and Wardlow picks up the win. And Sean Spears wanted to hit the ring after the match with the chair. Wardlow stopped him and said no, and they went to the back. Next up, we had a trios match. It was Chris Jericho, Santana and Ortiz of the Inner Circle taking on Daniel Garcia and 2.0. Santana and Ortiz had words last week with Jericho. They were talking about Eddie Kingston, and they said that Eddie Kingston may have had a point when he was talking about Jericho being the one who's been holding them back. And remember, Santana said, maybe we would be tag team champions by now were it not for you. Maybe we are being held back by sticking with you and still being associated with you in the Inner Circle. This segment here was, honestly, it was less about the match. It was more about this highlighting the dysfunction within the ranks of the Inner Circle. While Sammy Guevara is off having the kind of match he had tonight, winning championships, Jake Hager has disappeared off the face of the earth, we're left with Jericho, Santana, and Ortiz, and this infighting that there's been over the last couple of weeks. And it looks like we are probably going to be headed for a split. I mean, I guess they could all make up in the end. I think that would be a mistake. I think the right thing to do for Santana and Ortiz is to break away from Chris Jericho and go off on their own. Jericho was going to start the match. Santana tagged himself in. And again, this was the story for the first few minutes of the match. Not on the same page. Not on the same page. It hit a similar spot with Ortiz tagging into the match. So the heels worked over Ortiz. Jericho was ready for the hot tag. He's right there. Jericho wants to be tagged into the match, but when he made it over to his corner, Ortiz tagged Santana back into the match instead. He'd already been in the match. Instead of tagging in the fresh Jericho, he tagged his partner back in instead of Chris. So Chris jumps down from the apron, and now he's just sort of watching. He says, oh, okay, what's going on here? What's the deal with you guys? And he's watching from the aisleway, just standing there watching. 2.0 was setting up for their finish on Santana. Jericho pulled Jeff Parker out to the floor. And then when Matt Lee got pushed into the ropes, referee didn't see it, Jericho back elbowed him right in the face. Hit the Judas effect. And Lee stumbled backwards into a stuffed pile driver from Santana, who got the pin to win the match for the Inner Circle. The story here, at least to me, the story coming out of this match, is that Santana and Ortiz, despite what they said, effectively needed Jericho to win the match for them. That's what happened here. They won the match because Jericho hit his finish on Matt Lee, and that allowed them to get the pin. So we'll see. You know, the story will continue, obviously, over these next few weeks. We're going to get more dissension. You know, I just don't want the whole kiss and make up thing at the end, you know, where they're all back together and they're all on the same page and everything is all hunky-dory. Santana and Ortiz need to break away on their own. Jericho, I think, would be better off, not right away, but going heel again. It's been a while, right? He's been doing the babyface thing for many, many months. So I think looking ahead, as we get deeper into the spring and deeper into the year, I can see Jericho going heel again. Look, Jericho beat Hangman Page to win the championship. First ever AEW World Champion. Maybe they bring it back. Right? Maybe they bring it back and Jericho says, hey, I beat you once. I can be AEW champion again. Hangman gets his win back and sends Jericho off to his next Fozzy gig. I think Jericho will work better as a heel anyway. But I mean, again, I don't see how keeping the Inner Circle together is really benefiting anybody except Jericho. It gives Jericho people to hang around. Right? Santana and Ortiz at this point, you know, maybe initially, but Santana and Ortiz are not gaining anything from this. Sammy Guevara doesn't need them. He's off doing his own thing. Sammy Guevara is doing just fine. Jake Hager is probably the one guy who I would say would benefit from the Inner Circle staying together. He hasn't even been around. And I care a lot more about Santana and Ortiz than I do fucking Jake Hager. So I hope that we are on our way to an Inner Circle split once and for all. We got a video package for Hangman Adam Page defending his AEW world title against Lance Archer on Dynamite in 2 weeks' time. We're going to get the championship on the line in what Archer said will be a Texas death match. Shout out to Brandon Proctor. Just became a Sound Off legend. I got an announcement for our channel members, by the way, in a little bit. We're going to be going live tomorrow night. I'll tell you more in a little bit. But now we know the AEW title match is in 2 weeks on Dynamite, not on pay-per-view, not at Revel. I think we knew, you know, Hangman against Archer. How are they going to drag that out anyway for another 6 weeks? But that's not a Revolution-worthy title match. It's just not. So it's smarter to use it to pop a number. You put a world title match on TV, and we just had two of them, right? We had the two against Danielson, and Danielson was not on the show tonight, no Moxley on the show tonight. We know Moxley will be on Rampage Friday, so maybe we'll get another appearance from Danielson as well. But it's smart to do this match on TV. Try to pop a number, put a world title match on Dynamite, and save a bigger match and a better opponent for Page for Revolution in 5 weeks. CM Punk was out next for a live interview in Cleveland, the same city that hosted Monday Night Raw 8 years ago, almost to the day. The same Monday Night Raw that CM Punk walked out of for the final time after meeting with Vince McMahon and Triple H backstage. So he has a interesting connection to the city of Cleveland. Punk was dressed to fight. He had his long pants on that he wore when he wrestled, I guess it was in the debut match against Darby, right? He had the long pants. I think his fists were taped. He was ready for combat. And he unzipped his jacket to reveal MJF's scarf that he stole off of him last week. MJF interrupted not long after this. Punk was going off on how cheap the scarf was and all this. And so here comes MJF. And he asked the fans if they really wanted this match. They really wanted to see CM Punk against MJF. And of course, they all cheered and they all chanted yes. And then he said that he would not waste a match as historic as CM Punk against MJF for the very first time in a cesspool like Cleveland, which got him chance of asshole. Instead, he said he'll give the fans the match they've wanted next week in Chicago. It will be CM Punk in his hometown, in his backyard, one-on-one with MJF. But we're not in Chicago right now. He said we're in crappy Cleveland. He said the match will be spectacular, but the outcome would be very upsetting to people because after he wins, CM Punk is going to reveal himself. CM Punk, the people are going to see the real CM Punk. The man who loses his smile when he doesn't get what he wants and blames his failures on everyone else, just like LeBron James. Punk no-showed in Cleveland in 2014 when he left WWE. When MJF beats Punk, he's going to cry about it on a podcast. So then it was Punk's turn to respond. And Punk said the best thing he did was leave. And the best thing he did was come back. And those things are not mutually exclusive. He said MJF listened to that podcast because he was a fan. He said MJF watched him when he was a kid and he stood in line for his autograph and he doesn't get to take that out on the fans. Punk said that he should go to the back and put his boots on with the 3-inch lifts and handle business. Punk said the fans don't love him because he wins or hate him because he loses. They love him because he always gets back. He always gets back up, just like Cleveland. So sucking up to Cleveland is CM Punk. MJF said that, well, it's time to test that theory. And he motioned to the back, and here comes the pinnacle. Here comes Sean Spears. Here comes Wardlow. Here comes FTR. Spears and FTR jump Punk. FTR held him down so Spears can hit him across the back with a chair. MJF ordered Wardlow to powerbomb Punk. And here's Wardlow, who got wildly cheered a few segments ago, right? He's over like Rover. It's his hometown. Everyone's cheering. They're telling him, no, don't do it. He powerbombs Punk. MJF stands over Punk and tells him that it was apropos his career would end in the same place that it started next week, that being Chicago. I thought this was okay. I thought this was okay. The issue I have is that some of these Punk segments, well, Punk and MJF, but some of these Punk segments just drag on longer than they need to. They overstay their welcome. I get to a point in the promo where it's like, this should have been over by now. And they're still going. And I felt that way in this promo a few minutes before it actually ended. So I thought it dragged on for too long. And also, for the people who think, why are they giving this match away on TV next week? Number one, we don't know for sure if they're giving the match away. They could always shoot some kind of an angle. I think we're going to get the match. I feel like if they're going to promote this as the big main event for next week in Punk's hometown, they're not going to fuck the fans over. You kind of get conditioned to seeing that in WWE sometimes when they do an angle where they'll promise a match and then it turns out, well, we're not going to do the match. I mean, they're doing it right now with Sonya Deville and Naomi. Now, granted, that's not CM Punk against MJF, but I don't think that Tony Khan is going to do that. So I'm fairly certain we'll actually get the match next week. I think it's smart. I think it's smart to do the match on TV next week. I don't have an issue with it at all because I'm already feeling a little fatigued when it comes to these promos because we have reached the point where they're starting to sound very much alike. They're starting to kind of run together a lot. It's a lot of the same material, I feel like. It's running out of steam where it's like, all right, it's time for the match. So when is the next pay-per-view? 5 weeks away. 5 weeks. They can't wait 5 weeks to do this match. They don't have enough to sustain this for another 5 weeks. We've had Punk against Wardlow. We've had Punk against Sean Spears. You want to do Punk against each member of FTR? I guess you could try that too. And actually, I think Punk against Dax and Punk against Cash would actually be a pretty good match. But you can't. You got to do the match now. You can't drag this out for 5 more weeks. It's already getting long in the tooth as far as some of these promos are concerned. So that's the main reason why I don't have any issue with them doing it. The other thing is, you get more than one match out of this. This is not going to be one and done. You're going to get 2, maybe 3 matches out of this. By doing the first match on TV in Chicago next week, MJF absolutely should win this match. Not a question in my mind. The winner of the match next week should be MJF. I've always said, when they meet for the first time, I thought it would be at Revolution, but when they meet for the first time, MJF should win. If they met for the only time, MJF should win. But I don't believe this will be the only time. So MJF goes to Chicago. Now, you talk about getting heat. He goes to Chicago next week. He wins. By nefarious means, but he wins. Then you run it back at Revolution. 4 weeks later, on the pay-per-view, you run it back as one of the co-main events. Because you can get at least 3 big matches out of that Revolution show. You have Hangman defending his title. You do Bryan Danielson against Jon Moxley. And you do the rematch with CM Punk and MJF. And there it is. There's your top 3 right there. And as far as who goes over in that match, Punk goes over. Now they're 1-1. Now you can run it back for a 3rd match with some stipulation. Maybe that's where the split finally happens with Wardlow and MJF. Maybe they're saving it for that, at the very end of this feud. So if you're going to get a 2nd and maybe a 3rd match out of it, you got to get the first match done soon. So I think it's perfectly fine for them to headline Dynamite with it next week. And I think that show, you know, numbers-wise, should do very well. I mean, if they don't pull at least 1 million for that show next week with this match that they've been promoting for weeks and weeks, first time ever, CM Punk in the main event, that would be very disappointing. We had Red Velvet against legit Layla Hirsch. Speaking of disappointing, wasn't a fan of this match. I have said that I want to see more of Layla Hirsch. She's very good. I'd like to see more of her on the main show. We got her tonight. This was not the best of what we can get from Layla Hirsch. Velvet charged down to the ring right away, and they went at it before the bell. Velvet quickly went for the final slice, you see, because she's named after a cake. Get it? So she went for the final slice. Velvet delivered a knee lift and a cutter over the ropes. She went for the triangle, which is, I don't think, a move I've seen her try before. Layla powered out, hit a buckle bomb, worked over Velvet's shoulder, going into the picture-in-picture. When they came back, Velvet hit a stunner off the middle rope, could not make the cover. She got a drop toe hold into the ropes and then drove the double knees, little meteora action, into Layla's back. Hirsch responded with a forearm shot to the bad shoulder. Velvet landed a spear with her good shoulder and covered for 2. Layla hit a powerbomb counter and then a knee strike, pulled her up and applied a submission hold. Velvet, though, got a rope break, and she pulled Layla into an inside cradle. But then Hirsch rolled up Velvet with a handful of tights and got the pin. This finish looked very clunky. Otherwise, I thought the match on the whole was kind of disappointing. I want to see more Layla Hirsch on this show. I've seen her have, you know, better matches than this. Not a lot of enthusiasm either. And I think, again, part of it is, again, the fact that these people were following what we saw in that opening match, and they were following a CM Punk MJF segment. But these are not two women that you see on Dynamite very often. It's very rare to see Red Velvet. It's even more rare to see Layla Hirsch on this show. You might see them on Rampage occasionally. You probably see them on Dark every week, but not everybody is watching Dark. So these are not two women, and even their storyline, where they were partners a few weeks ago, I think it was on Rampage, and then there was a disagreement, and you know, last week there was a quick backstage segment where Layla kind of turned heel, and I don't know, it's not a lot of meat there to this story. And unless they went out there and lit the world on fire in the ring, which they didn't, you know, it's hard to get into it. So not a lot of enthusiasm for this, but I have seen Layla Hirsch have better matches, and hopefully they will give her more camera time on the show. What happened after the match was she put an armbar on Red Velvet. That brought out Chris Statlander, and Layla fled up the ramp. Layla Hirsch against Chris Statlander sounds like a pretty good match. So that's a match I'm looking forward to seeing. I expect that to be a good match when they do that match. We got a pre-tape promo from Malakai Black and Brody King. The House of Black. Malakai said the House of Black is about chaos and violence. Brody King embodies both of those things. Brody walked into camera view from the shadows behind Malakai and spoke for the first time. And he said, Pac has spoken against the house, and now he must be humble. After his defeat, he can reflect on the teaching the house has bestowed upon him. And Brody said, like death. And Malakai finished the sentence. He said, we are inevitable. Good stuff here. I like these vignettes. I like the Pac video we saw last week. I think it was last week. And I like this video as well. Tony Schiavone was in the ring to introduce the AEW Women's Champion, Britt Baker. This is one of those segments I think of when I said that a lot of the stuff in the middle of this show was very mid. I thought of this segment. This is the first thing I thought of when I said, how would I describe the middle portion of the show? I thought of this segment. This segment did not need to be on the show. Segment did not need to be on the show tonight. They had Britt Baker's Pro Wrestling Illustrated Awards on display in the ring. They had magazine covers with her all blown up on poster board. She made her way out, and she talked about her. She basically put herself over. She talked about her 9 straight victories since winning the AEW Women's title. That number was special to her and to Cleveland because it's the number of times that Baker Mayfield was sacked in Pittsburgh. So going for the cheap sports heat again. If you don't follow, you don't know who Baker Mayfield is, I don't think this segment did much for you because she went back to the whole Baker Mayfield thing again. I mean, she had a good burn here at the end, I will say. She said it was time to talk about a Baker that can actually win shit. She said she was the first woman signed to AEW, the first woman to main event Dynamite. She talked more trash about Mayfield and told Cleveland they finally had a Baker that they can count on. So that was a clever line at the end. That was the whole segment. I thought at least that somebody was going to come out. We were going to get a sense of who her next challenger is going to be. You know, maybe she would have had Rebel and Jamie Hayter with her, and there would have been some more subtle tension hinted at with her and Hayter. Something. This segment was completely pointless. This had no business being on the show. I don't know why they felt they had to dedicate a segment to this. This was a waste of time. Speaking of waste of time, Vicky Guerrero came out and shrieked. Been a while since I've heard a Vicky shriek. Can't say that I miss it. But here comes Vicky Guerrero out with Nyla Rose, who was not in a good mood. She blamed Ruby Soho for why she is not the TBS champion right now and issued a challenge to Ruby for a match next week. That was it. I'm sure the match is going to be made official at some point. The main event of this show was the unsanctioned Lights Out match between Adam Cole and Orange Cassidy. The first Lights Out match here on Dynamite since Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa almost a year ago. Somebody in the chat, Bash, is that Bash? Wanted to know, where is Miro? Miro is nursing a leg injury of some kind. I don't believe it's overly serious. It's not like he's going to be out for months and months, but he is recovering from a minor leg injury. He should be back very soon. So we got no bullshit from Orange Cassidy at the start. We didn't get the whole hands in the pockets. We didn't get the weak shin kicks. He came out. He took his glasses off and just, you know, crumpled them and threw them away. And they went right at it, trading right hands at a normal speed. Quickly, the match ended up outside the ring. Cassidy hit a shotgun dropkick on the floor. That sent Cole soaring backwards into the guardrail. Cole came right back. He whipped Cassidy into the guardrail, dropped him across the top of its spine first. So Cole went for a chair. He went to go fish a... He went to go Bobby fish a chair out from under the ring, and he grabs it. And as he's pulling the chair out, there is someone attached to it. And who does he pull out from under the ring but Danhausen? His very first appearance on AEW television. Danhausen suffered a gruesome leg injury. Actually, he suffered a leg injury the same night. I believe it was the same show. Months ago that Mance Warner got hurt. We saw Mance Warner make an appearance at the GCW pay-per-view on Sunday night. So only appropriate that we would see the return of Danhausen. Nice pop for somebody who has never been introduced on television to the AEW audience. The people in Cleveland sure knew who he was. You know, and I think a lot of people expected him to show up here after Ring of Honor let everybody out of their contracts. The only reason we didn't see Danhausen sooner is because he was hurt. But he's doing better now. He's able to walk. He's walking. He's mobile. I don't know if he can wrestle yet, but it's good to see him doing better. But Danhausen, he stands up, and Adam Cole is completely weirded out. He's shocked. He doesn't know what to make of this, and Danhausen is sort of pointing at him. And Cole, as weirded out as he is, he turns back around, and he goes to hit Cassidy with the chair. Cassidy ducks. And he hits a tornado DDT on the floor to Cole. Danhausen is not from Cleveland. So why he was there, I don't know. It was never explained. I mean, maybe he's just been hiding out under the ring for the last few weeks and nobody bothered to check. And I don't know. He was just sort of randomly there. And I don't know if it was just a cameo or if we're going to start seeing him, you know, if he signed a contract. I don't know. I don't know. But I guess he lives under the ring. So, a minute later, then again, I'm not even sure how I would explain Danhausen to someone if they asked me, like a non-fan or a casual fan, who's that? I don't know what to say. I have no explanation. I'll just say that, Sting stopped working out. And that's what he looks like now. I have no other good explanation for it. I really don't. Although Sting at 62 is actually in better shape than Danhausen. If you put Sting next to Danhausen, even though Sting probably has at least 30 years on him, Sting's in better shape than he is. So a minute later, Cole went for a Panama Sunrise on the floor. Cassidy blocked it. And Cassidy went for the beach break. Very appropriate on this show. But Cole got out of it. Cassidy ended up giving him a spine buster through the timekeeper's table. When Cassidy set up for the orange punch, he was waiting for Cole to get up. Oh, okay. I'm seeing the updates in the chat that Tony Khan has announced that Danhausen is officially All Elite. How does Danhausen get paid? Danhausen seems like the kind of guy who would probably be paid in crypto. So I'm guessing he's going to accept payment from Tony Khan in some kind of cryptocurrency. But it is official. Danhausen is All Elite. So we will be seeing him on TV going forward. Maybe not every week, but we will see more of him. So Orange Cassidy was waiting for Cole after the table spot to get back up. He did not see Adam Cole grab the ring bell. So when he came in for the orange punch, Cole held up the bell, and Cassidy punched the bell. That was the beginning of working over his hand. Cole was damaging his hand any way he could. He put it in the ring steps and kicked the steps. Cole started pulling various articles of plunder from under the ring as they cut to the final picture-in-picture break. So after the break, Cole calls out the boys. He's waving to the back. He's calling out the cavalry. And here comes Brandon Cutler, but Wheeler Yuta from Best Friends quickly comes out and dispatches him. We had Fish and O'Reilly, or at least I didn't see it. I don't know if O'Reilly was there. I saw Fish. I don't remember if I saw O'Reilly, come to think of it. But There's Chuck Taylor. Young Bucks came out. The Young Bucks got in the ring. They were about to do a triple super kick with Cole. Here comes Roppongi Vice, though. And they pulled Matt and Nick out to the floor and fought off with them. That match did not happen last week because Rocky Romero got COVID, so I'm sure they're going to come back with it soon. In the ring, Orange Cassidy hit the beach break, but Cole kicked out. Hit the orange punch, but then he was in agony. His hand was all bloodied. It was damaged from earlier. Kind of stupid to hit that move. So now he's selling the hand. Cole went for a low blow, which is legal in a match like this. But when he hit the low blow, it was Adam Cole who was selling an injury. And Orange Cassidy was just standing there. And he reached down into his pants and he pulled out a protective cup. He pulled out a steel cup is what it was, with thumbtacks on it. That's what the announcers said. I don't know if I'd be wearing that. I don't know if I'd be sticking that in my crotch. Thumbtacks in the crotch does not sound like a risk worth taking. So Kyle O'Reilly was not there. Kyle didn't have a baby. His wife, girlfriend, his significant other had a baby. Everyone's saying Kyle had a baby. Kyle would make headlines if he had a baby. But congratulations, if he had the child, congratulations. Yeah, I was going to say, I remember seeing Fish, but I didn't see O'Reilly. So Cassidy sets up to hit Cole with his own move. Climbs up on the middle rope on the inside, comes off, hits the Panama Sunrise. Only gets a 2.5. Cole runs away all the way down through the tunnel. He's trying to escape Orange Cassidy. They end up by the gorilla position. Tony Khan is there. Jerry Lynn is over there. Jerry Lynn, who was just at the Indy Hall of Fame ceremony the other weekend. GCW weekend. Cole delivered a Death Valley driver through the table to Cassidy. They end up fighting back out onto the stage. Cassidy is down on his knees. Cole pulls down the knee pad. He's setting up for the boom. And as he goes for the boom, Cassidy gets up. He nails him with a super kick. And Cassidy wraps a chain around his hand. He's going to go for the chain-assisted orange punch. When he goes for it, though, Cole grabs a spotlight that was sitting on the stage, and he whacks him with it. He hits Orange Cassidy with the spotlight. Cole then climbs the truss. There's a steel truss right next to one of the entrance tunnels. And Cole scales the truss, and he climbs up on top of the tunnel, and he looks down, and he doesn't see Orange Cassidy. He has no idea where he is. Well, what he didn't realize is that Orange Cassidy was climbing up right behind him. So there's OC standing right behind Cole, and he delivers a low blow. He grabs Cole after the low blow and gives him a hug. And he's grabbing him tightly, and Cole is trying to break out of his vice grip, and he can't break free. And Cassidy is looking down to the stage. And sure enough, they go tumbling off the tunnel. They crash through the stage, or I should say, a bunch of wooden/cardboard boxes that were set up on the side of the tunnel. They crash through the boxes. Cassidy landed on top of Cole, so the referee started his count. 1, 2, 3. Orange Cassidy is victorious in the lights out match. I thought that, and I want to address this, because of course we're getting the Adam Cole is buried. Adam Cole, you see all that sand on the screen? We're going to dig a hole, and Adam Cole is going to be buried 6 feet under. Adam Cole is not buried. Adam Cole is not buried. Calm down. I thought the match was fine. I didn't think it was that great. I thought it was fine. They had a street fight. That's what it was. They had a street fight. It was fine. I was not a fan of that finish. I just feel like I've seen this finish a whole bunch of times. I will say, the landing looked better than the Jericho landing in the Blood and Guts match last year. I'm sure Jericho would be very upset to hear that. But I was not a fan of the finish. I enjoyed the last Lights Out match a lot more than I did this one. For a street fight, though, I thought it was good. Keep in mind, though, and this goes to the point about Cole not being buried. Yeah, they talk about the rankings a lot, who's ranking where, and who's going to be in contention for what championship. Coming into this match, Adam Cole, he tweeted about this the other day. Adam Cole talked about the fact that I'm undefeated in AEW. And when I'm done with Orange Cassidy, I'm moving on to bigger and better things. Well, in a lights out, unsanctioned match, a loss doesn't count. Wins and losses don't count in matches like this. So yes, we saw him get pinned on TV. I mean, he didn't get pinned in the ring in a regular match, but he got pinned, but it doesn't count. Think about the last lights out match that we saw, Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa. Britt Baker lost that match, but it was the match that made her. It's the match that elevated her from whatever level she was at to the level she's at right now. She lost that match, and within a few months, she was the women's champion, not Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa has not sniffed gold yet, in this company. Britt Baker lost that match, and 3 months later went on to win the championship and has held on to that championship to this very day. And is as big of a star now as she's ever been at any other point during her career. That loss did not impact her. That loss actually benefited. Now, that was a different type of match. I mean, that was like the performance of a lifetime. And the visual of her with the crimson mask and everything. Adam Cole, this was just another Adam Cole match. I've seen Adam Cole have 1,000 fucking matches better than the one we saw tonight. But in terms of him losing, it is not the end of Adam Cole in AEW. In fact, I still say, I believe, once Hangman beats Lance Archer, if that is one and done and he moves on after Archer, the title match of Revolution should be Hangman Page defending against Adam Cole. Even though he got pinned by Orange Cassidy on this show, he is still primed to be in contention for the championship. He's still technically undefeated in this company. And he lost tonight. I don't see him losing again for a while. I still think you could do Hangman and Cole at Revolution. That should be your title match. That's the match to build to. And then, however that match turns out, you know, coming out of that, we'll see when Kenny Omega returns, when he's ready to come back to TV. Then you can begin the build to O'Reilly, Fish, Cole, Omega, and the Bucks. So he is not buried. He is not dead. He is not done. He's going to be just fine. I mean, I see all of this hyperbole after this win. Oh my God, I can't believe what they did to Adam Cole. Oh my God. Adam Cole is going to be just fine. Beach Break Championship Friday is what they are calling Rampage this week. Jon Moxley one-on-one against Anthony Bowens of the Acclaimed. We're getting FTR against Brock Anderson and Lee Johnson, which was supposed to happen last week but got bumped because of COVID stuff. Julia Hart, the one-eyed woman, challenging Jade Cargill for the TBS Championship. Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus defend their AEW tag team titles against Private Party. Private Party, by the way, coming back to House of Glory, where they cut their teeth and really made a name for themselves. Back in House of Glory next month on February 12th. I look forward to seeing them back at the NYC Arena. Maybe when they show up, they'll have AEW Tag Team Gold with them. And then on Dynamite next Wednesday in Chicago, it is CM Punk against MJF. Pac is teaming with Penta to take on the House of Black, Malakai and Brody Lee. Brody King. And we'll see if they make the match official, Nyla Rose against Ruby Soho. So that is the lineup for next week. Before I get to the poll, I did say a little bit earlier that I was going to mention something for channel members, and I know we've had a few new channel members sign up tonight, so welcome. Welcome to the family. But tomorrow night, we are going to be doing episode 2. Of Better Call Saul Monster. Better Call Saul. Oh, look at this. Ah. my goodness. Steven Chapa. Bully the Cloud. Fuck Bully Ray. Thank you, my friend. Boy, you're really fond of that super chat, are you? I knew you would be. I knew somebody would be. But tomorrow night, if you are a channel member, exclusively for channel members, I'm going to be opening the phone lines. We're going to be talking whatever you want, but we're going to be talking, I'm sure, a lot of Royal Rumble. Because the Royal Rumble is coming up on Saturday. So we are going to be on, we'll see, maybe about an hour, 90 minutes or so. I'll take as many calls as I can. Again, this is a perk for channel members. I will be live. I will let you know in the community section here. I'll put a post up tomorrow with the phone number. I'm going to be shooting for 8:30. So 8:30 Eastern, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow night. That is the plan as of right now, so I hope you can join. And if you have been waiting to call in and talk to the Solemn Monster, tomorrow night will be your chance. I mentioned House of Glory. I just wanted to mention this as well. Some people were asking me about this. The House of Glory, Who Runs the World Girl Show, is going to be hitting Fight TV finally after a little bit of a delay. It is hitting Fight TV on Friday night, this Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern. The ordering page is up right now. It's $9.99 to purchase. I had the opportunity to call this show along with JD from NY and Sam Laterna. Had a good time, and this was a fun show to call. This was a good one. So a lot of really great talent. You see some of them on your screen right now. Mercedes Martinez, who recently signed an AEW contract. Deonna Purrazzo, Jordan Grace, Santana Garrett, Sumi Sakai, Natalia Markova. The One Night Only Women's Tournament to crown a new House of Glory Women's Champion. So for those who are wondering, where is it? Where's the show? Because this one did not air live. It will be up on Fight TV Friday night. So that is where you will be able to see it. Now, let's see the poll results here. What did you think of AEW Dynamite Beach Break? 80% thumbs up, 11% thumbs in the middle, and 8% thumbs down, with a little over 1,100 votes in. So again, if you want to vote, at Solemonster on Twitter is the place to go. It is always the place to go. I encourage everybody to go and follow. It's time to hit the beach. It's time to hit the beach. Take your questions. Read all your super chats. If you have any final messages, you can get them on in. I will try to read what you guys send to me. And again, I thank everybody who supports the streams and supports the channel and me and the work that I do. So I thank you all. Ugh, take the towel off here. Man, we gotta take this towel off. It's getting warm in here. Food Hive. $1.99. Says Mox Oscar, LOL, crying. I love Hey Arnold. Okay. All right. He loves Hey Arnold. I wasn't really a big Hey Arnold watcher, but thank you, Food Hive. Yeah, that's right. CJ Rock, smash that like button. If you have not already done so, it does help out the streams when you hit the thumbs up. Paul Heyman. Isn't it eerie to think that 2 years ago today we lost a legend in Kobe Bryant, but also regained a legend in Edge within a few hours of each other? I have not thought about it like that. I actually did not realize that today was the Kobe Bryant anniversary. That's very shitty what happened there. Very shitty. The Mount Vernon Kid, the Alpha, with a $5 super chat. How are you doing, Solemonster? My question now was, what was the point of Cody winning the TNT Championship just to lose it back to Sammy? Was it just stat padding? Yeah, I don't know if it was stat padding or just, Tony Khan wanted to book a big match for a Dynamite. And this is the idea that he had in mind. Book a unification ladder match, which turned out to be one of the best matches they've ever had in Dynamite history. So we ended up with a great match out of it. But again, I wonder if him dropping the title perhaps is going to feed into, if they play it up, this whole idea that Cody is not under contract. And I mean, we'll see how they play it on TV next week. Nayef Alsafar, thank you for the $4.99, Nayef. I hope you and Turkey are doing well. Anti-M Bishop 07, greetings. No Gargano tonight, but Danhausen is a good plus. Great show from top to bottom. All the best. Thank you, Anti-M Bishop. Appreciate it. Spaghetti. $1.99 super chat. Bryan against Moxley. Submission match. Maybe the rematch. I don't think their first match needs a stipulation. I don't think their first match needs a stip. But, you know, one has the Bulldog Choke. The other has the Yes-Lock. Or, I guess they don't call it the Yes-Lock anymore. So I could see maybe a rematch being a submission match. I just don't know that their first match needs the stip. Stephen Chaffa says, with Salamaster wearing the AEW, well, it's a tank top. So he's for Beach Break. I'm sure people are already saying he's on the payroll again. Yes. Well, this goes back to the comment that I went off on the podcast on Sunday, where I actually got a tweet. This was the highlight of my week. I got a tweet from someone telling me that I am carrying water for WWE. I am a moron who carries water for WWE. And as I said on the podcast, I need somebody to tell me which day of the week I'm biased towards which company. I lose track of who I'm supposed to be biased towards on which day of the week. Because one day I'm biased towards WWE, the next day I'm biased towards AEW. One day I'm wearing an AEW branded shirt. Oh my God, he's wearing an AEW shirt. Forgetting the fact, of course, I think I wore an NWO shirt last week. There was another WWE shirt I wore, like an Eddie Guerrero shirt 2 weeks ago. We'll ignore that. We'll ignore that. Again, these people are not to be taken seriously. Deuce. $4.99. What an absolute waste of a Britt Baker segment. Yet we can only have one women's match per episode for some reason. Fun show otherwise. Thank you, Jared, for the $35 Christian super chat. Says, love me some Danhausen. Jared, you know, as much of an old school guy as you are, I'm kind of surprised that you love, I'm kind of relieved that you like Danhausen. You can actually enjoy yourself for a little bit. You know, a lot of older fans are very, I say older, I mean longtime fans are, you know, sometimes a little uptight when it comes to the silly gimmicks. Luis Belmont Show, $10 super chat. Sucks having COVID, no symptoms at all, but please keep me in good spirits, Solo Maniacs. Oh, Luis has COVID. Well, Luis, I hope that you are able to break free and get back out into civilization very soon. It's good, though, that you have no symptoms. I have a friend who had it and was absolutely fucking miserable. Vaxxed and everything. He was still completely miserable, so at least you're not going through that. Joseph Brooks, buy rent. Thank you for the $9.99, by the way. Buy, rent, or sell on these rare Bret Hart matches we saw that you would have liked to have seen turned into a feud. Bret Hart against Mankind, Bret Hart against The Rock, or Bret Hart against Booker T in WCW? Bret Hart and The Rock. I think Bret and The Rock would have been... I mean, he was too young at that point, but like 98 Rock? 98 Rock against Bret Hart? Babyface Bret against heel Rock in 98, I think would have been fun. Rodimus Prime, $20 super chat. With Ring of Honor announcing their Hall of Fame, who do you think will be inducted? I was going to talk more about this on the podcast on Sunday. I have a few names in mind, but the one slam dunk must-have name, first ballot, first inductee, should be Samoa Joe. without question, Samoa Joe. Spaghetti 499 Super Chat. When all is said and done with Omega, will the Okada series be his magnum opus? I believe it already is. I think it will be. I think the answer is yes. Joseph Brooks, did you know that today is the 2-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant's death? Yes, I was just reminded of that. Do you remember where you were and your reaction when you got that news? I mean, I think that was the same day as the Royal Rumble. I was getting ready for the pay-per-view. I have a lot going on during the pay-per-view days. You know, Saturday is going to be another one of those days. I was probably, if it was that Sunday, then I was getting ready to watch the Rumble and then go live. So, you know, it was sad. I was following the news coverage, and then I kind of went on with my life because I had work to do. So that's what I remember. Steven Chappa, thank you again for that Bully the Clown, the first Bully the Clown Super Chat from earlier. James Cooper, AEW slowly re-kingling. Is that a new word? Re-kingling? My love for wrestling. I know in the past the WWE product post-Attitude Era has not been as compelling. What are your thoughts on the Batista-Undertaker-Edge feud from 2007 into 2008? Well, thank you, James. I know AEW is slowly rekindling your love for wrestling. I don't really have a lot of specific memories about the Batista Undertaker Edge stuff. I mean, Undertaker and Edge, you know, and obviously heading into their match at WrestleMania 24, I thought was pretty good. But, you know, there's a lot of stuff, honestly, from that time period, especially on the SmackDown side, that I don't remember too well. You know, it wasn't. It's kind of how I felt, you know? Hulkling 93, $10 Super Chat. The Cleveland crowd felt off. Also, the first time I've seen that upside-down spot was Jeff Hardy against Edge ladder match from Extreme Rules 09. Always amazes me that Edge did not get impaled. Yeah, I gotta watch that match. I don't think I've seen that match since the first time I saw it. So, I don't remember too much from it. Carlos Lugo. Danhausen was signed by AEW. Do you think he was a good signing, and how would you book him? Oh my god, I have no fucking idea. Danhausen? He's an attraction. I would not... I think it's important not to overexpose him. I think we're going to see him doing, you know, some comedy stuff, maybe with Cassidy and Best Friends. I could see that, maybe. But honestly, I have no idea. I have no idea how they're going to use Danhausen. I'd have to think about how I would use Danhausen in small doses. That's how I would use Dan. I think he is best in small doses and not being overexposed. Man Without Mercy, would you say that AJ in New Japan is Styles at his best? Yeah, I would. I think the tail end of his run and impact into the beginning of his run and his whole run in New Japan. And even honestly into the beginning of his WWE run and those early matches with Roman Reigns and the matches with John Cena. I mean, that was AJ at his best. Food Hive. Tony Khan said Danhausen is all Elitehausen. James Cooper, $4.99. Rank these wrestling politicians from 1 to 4. Hogan in the 80s and 90s. Shawn Michaels in the late 90s. Triple H, Reign of Terror, and John Cena, 2008 to 2014. I put Cena on the bottom. Hogan is the master. I mean, Hogan out-politicked Michaels in 2005. I can't put Hogan above Shawn. So I would say Hogan, Triple H, Michaels, Cena, in that order. That's how I would rank. The Phenom. We have the Phenom. $7 Super Chat. Buy, rent, sell. Brett versus Shawn. Sting versus NWO. And Undertaker against Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 25. Love your videos. Keep up the great work. Thank you. So a buy, rent, or sell. on those feuds. I mean, Bret and Shawn was a real life feud that just played itself out on TV. You know? But if I just judge it just based on what we saw on television, I mean, it's, you know, they were all special. Sting in the NWO. Those are the days, man. You know, Sting falling from the ceiling, hitting everybody with the baseball bat. All these NWO guys, all 24 NWO guys, 37 NWO guys running from one guy with a baseball bat. Ridiculous on its face. But boy, yeah, the fans ate it up back then. Hey, James Adams just became a sound-off superstar. What's going on, James? You will be able to call in or at least tune in for our live call-in show, 8:30. Again, reminder, 8:30 tomorrow night. I'll put a post up reminding everybody about it tomorrow. I mean, again, if I had to rank them by rent or sell, I would probably go Bret Shawn. There hasn't been a feud like it since. Because it was real. You know, Bret Shawn, Shawn Taker, Sting NWO. Ryan Spies, hopefully Sammy's second title run has more interesting challengers and angles than his first one. Phenom again. If you got prime Bret Hart back for only one match, would you like to see him wrestle? Who would you like to see him wrestle? My personal choice would be Walter or Okada. Walter, who's that? There is no Walter anymore. Walter or Okada. So you're talking current talent. You can almost put him in there against anybody. You could put Bret in there against Omega. You could put Bret in there against, trying to think from WWE. Seth Rollins, right? We know Rollins is a big Bret Hart fan. Everybody. I'd want to see him in there against everybody. I think Bret and Omega would actually be a hell of a match. I think that would be a special one. Two Canadians going at it. You know, you've got, you've got Danielson. Of course, Danielson. I mean, how could I forget him? WWE. Even like Bret Hart against Roman Reigns. You know, Bret, when he would be matched up against guys that were physically bigger than him, he also was able to, you know, pull out a lot of great matches. And Roman can go. So, you know, prime Bret against Roman Reigns right now in the middle of the best run of his career. Bret and Brock. Bret Hart and Brock Lesnar. If you take the Brock Lesnar from years ago who actually wrestled more and did more than just suplexes and F5s. Imagine that Brock Lesnar, but even the Brock of today against Bret Hart. You know, there's so many great matches that you could have gotten out of it. James Cooper, do you think when the time comes for multi-man matches, AEW goes for traditional triple threat rules or the ECW three-way dance round? Probably traditional triple threat rules would be my guess. Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer Newsletter. Look at Dave, right? The Dave, chiming in, breaking away from his newsletter writing to send in a super chat. Do you think that Brian and Punk's AEW... I love the idea that he's asking me a question, as if it were him. Do you think Brian and Punk's AEW runs have been overall better than their WWE runs? What is more important for a good career, promo or work rate? You need both. You need promo ability. You need to be able to work in the ring. You got to have some kind of character development. You've got to be interesting. It's not enough to just be a good wrestler. You know, some people think, oh, all these internet fans care about is work rate. Well, I mean, maybe some of them do. I know what I like. I like somebody who can go in there and have great matches, but I also want somebody who can go out there and just entertain me. You know, who's got a charismatic personality where when they're on screen, I'm focused on them. I'll drop whatever else I might be doing to focus on them and what they're saying and what they're doing. They can draw me in, right? They just have that sort of intangible quality about them. You need to be able to do it all. I don't think you should just be able to do one or the other. You should have the skill set to do both. But as far as Brian and Punk and, you know, their runs in AEW, it's almost a silly question to me. The answer is no. They haven't been there long enough. I'm not willing to sit here and say that Punk's had a better AEW run. What has he done? He's done nothing so far. CM Punk is only, he's only scratching the surface of what he can do. MJF is the first real big feud. I mean, he had the little one with Eddie Kingston, but, you know, he's just getting started. Danielson, same thing. He's had some great matches. I can't sit here and tell you his run in AEW is better than his run in WWE. I mean, that's preposterous. Mr. Andrew sent a $4.99 super chat. How many MJF programs result in the babyface having to go through people to get MJF? Do you think there are different types of heat, or is a reaction a reaction? Well, I mean, you want to ask about heat, you should be talking to Bully the Clown. No, I mean, look, there are different levels of heel heat. There's different types of heels, right? There's chicken shit heels who run away and people just, you know, they want to boo them and pay money to see them get their ass handed to them. But then you have other heels who aren't necessarily chicken shit heels who run away. They could be dominant heels. They could be the kind of heel who, you know, everything they say is the truth. And sometimes the truth hurts and it gets under people's skin. Maybe they, cheat in their matches. Maybe they just go out there and get cheap heat. They just heel on sports teams and don't do much else. I mean, there's a lot of ways to get heat. There's good heat. There's bad heat. Good heat is, you know, when you get a crowd to boo you, but they want to tune in or they want to pay, whether it's a pay-per-view or a ticket or whatever, because you're on the card. And whoever it is that you're facing, whoever it is that you're challenging, people want to see you go in there and lose. They want to see you get your mouth stapled shut. MJF has that kind of heat. Legitimate heat. When he comes out, he is showered in boos by people who hate his fucking guts. Because the guy gets it. He understands. He lives it. He lives the gimmick. He's committed to it. I don't think we have enough people, frankly, who are committed to being a heel, but maybe that's just me. Mr. Andrew, how many MJ... Oh, we just read that one. Thank you, Mr. Andrew. Jay Baker, no relation to Britt. Funny that Beth Phoenix is buffer than Adam Cole. She is stronger than Adam Cole. Food Hive. Looks like I just got out of the shower. Oh, with my towel? Is that what you're talking about? With the beach towel? We put it back on? All right. Look like Taz. No cap. $4.99. I get it. Technically not a loss for Cole, but damn, Orange Cassidy is cringe. If he was in WWE, fans would bury him. I'm not disagreeing, but look, he gets a reaction. People like him. JM coming in hot with the Bully the Clown super chat. I think comedy gimmicks have a short shelf life. Orange Cassidy's gimmick has definitely hit its shelf life with me. Do you think Danhausen may be replacing Orange as sort of the feature comic relief for AEW? No. I mean, he just got a win over Adam Cole, one of their biggest stars. It doesn't seem to me like they're phasing down Orange Cassidy. If they were phasing him down, he would have lost. I don't think he's replacing anybody. I think he's just being brought in and he'll be added and worked into the show in some way. But is he going to replace Orange Cassidy? No. No, he's not. Rugged Solly Garvin. Oh, that's right. Rugged Ronnie Garvin used to come. I don't have the flat top hairdo that he had, though. But yeah, that's right. Rugged Ronnie Garvin used to come in and he had the towel around his neck. Don Juan, why does Gordon Ramsay hate WWE? Because it's Raw. Awful. Awful. Terrible. Jamin John with the super chat. Thoughts on Goldberg against Scott Steiner at Fall Brawl 2000. The build is one of the worst ever, but somehow got a good match out of it. I remember the match being good, but the build was horrendous, if that's the match I'm thinking of, with the whole Russo follow the script stuff. JM had no idea that super chat did that. Completely unintentional. Said, by the way, I appreciate your hard work, brother. Well, JM, I thank you for showing the love tonight. I appreciate it. I love it. Gabriella Valentine. What's going on, Gabriella? Dropping $5. Hey, Solomon Monster. How long do you think it'll take Wardlow to turn on MJF already? Also, do you think that we will ever get an MJF versus Wardlow versus Punk three-way? That sounds lewd, but no, I don't think we're going to get a three-way match, and I don't think we're that far away. I mean, they're clearly building in these next, I'd say, it's got to be in the next couple of months, right? I mean, I would think in the next 2-3 months max is going to be the split. It's going to be the point that Wardlow gets to where he just can take no more, and it's going to be a great moment. I mean, the reaction is going to be off the charts. This has been building for so long. But again, it's one of those things. You can only build it for so long. You've got to have that payoff, and I think we're headed to it very, very soon. Boy, Bully getting the heat tonight. JM again. Happy Wednesday. Any excuse to just say fuck Bully Ray here. It just says Happy Wednesday. Well, Happy Wednesday to you as well, JM. Steven Chapa. The ones who are saying Cole is buried, clowns. The Mount Vernon Kid, the Alpha. Are you happy for your wrestling doppelganger winning? You know, I don't know, man. He ran scared. Ever since he ran scared on that cruise last year, I was expecting him to be there, and he wasn't there. He lost my respect. Let's see. We got Amiibo. What's going on, Amiibo? Says Jericho needs to turn heel on Inner Circle so they can go their separate ways. Build a title match between Paige and Jericho where Paige can get his way. I just talked about that. I agree. I agree 100%. I think Jericho ultimately should go back to being a heel, and you can do the match with Hangman, and Hangman gets a win over Jericho, and then Jericho can kind of, you know, fade off. Oh my god. Somebody asked me about heat before. I think Bully Ray has heat with JM. He's got some mega heat with him. Angelo Bellotta, or Bellotta, $3 super chat. How about a trios tournament with Cole being with the Young Bucks and on Red Dragon's team, and then they meet in the finals with Cole choosing Red and Omega returns for the Buck? I don't think it needs to be a trios tournament. You don't need it. You don't need to overcomplicate this. Omega is going to come back, and there's going to be tension between both parties. It will ultimately lead to a match. It'll be a singles match down the road with him and Omega, but it will lead to a three-way. I think it'll probably lead to blood and guts later in the year. You don't need to have a tournament, and you know, you're probably talking about the introduction of trios titles, which I do think is going to happen in AEW. And I guess a lot of it really just depends upon when they do it. I don't know if they're doing it in these next few months. But I don't know that you really even need to bother with that. As far as building the story with them, I don't think it's necessary. Jared M. again, he loves him some Danhausen. Bob the Builder won't make it to the call-in show. Will it be recorded? Yes. So when the call-in show is over, it'll be archived for all the channel members to go back and listen. All the live streams are always archived, whether it's members only or one, you know, public ones like this are always going to be waiting for you on demand in the archives. Bob the Builder again, where do you see Keith Lee going? His 90 days is almost up. Yeah, he is going to be a free man in a few weeks, and I do think that we will ultimately see him in AEW. Magician Sapphire, $10 super chat. The same people who say Cole is buried for losing to Orange Cassidy seem to overlook that Cassidy is looked or booked very strong and was even the number one ranked wrestler to close 2021. Love or hate him, the guy is no jabroni. Well said. Bob the Builder, D'Antoni, and Salamancer is like Hogan and Savage. Well, who is Hogan and who is Savage? That is the question. We just have to get together and do the handshake, Mega Powers handshake. Liquid Sharingan, $5 super chat. I watched the GCW pay-per-view. It was fun at times, just the cursing was a little extreme for me, and I have a foul mouth. Probably won't return to GCW. Yeah, I mean, look, I love me some cuss words as much as the next person, but there is a point that it gets a little old. When everybody does it in every segment and every interview, it does get a little old. JM, with his super chat from earlier that I think I already answered about Comic Relief. These are all the JM 30s. No cap. Hey, Salamancer, can you see Kevin Owens turning on Rollins at the Rumble with Rollins turning babyface? I did think about that. The possibility of him costing him the championship against Roman Reigns. I don't know that there's a good reason for it. What would be the reason? Because he's helped Rollins. Think back to day one. In the match of day one, there was at least one point in that match. And maybe it wasn't even day one. It was... Was it day one or was it the four-way? It might have been the four-way that they had... I don't think if it was the four-way they had on TV, but whichever match it was. But Owens was basically almost like surrendering the win for Rollins. Like, it wasn't a put-on. He was trying to help him win. Like, he's really considering him to be his best friend. So why all of a sudden would Owens turn on him? What would be the rationale for it? Other than it's Kevin Owens, and Kevin Owens always turns on his best friend. I mean, to me, there's got to be a better rationale for that. So I don't know that it would make a lot of sense at the Rumble for him to, unless something happens where Owens has a reason to turn on him. I mean, what would be the purpose of that? I could see it though. I mean, I could definitely see it, and it builds to a WrestleMania match. It would almost make me sad because I've been very entertained by the interplay between them. But if Rollins is going babyface and Owens doesn't look like he is going babyface, then you've got to make a decision, right? Who turns on who? I don't know that you can have that alliance last if one's a babyface and one's a heel. JM says, everyone loves the Acclaim. Dr. NXT Scorpio, $3 or $4 super chat. That Bully Ray and Disco getting hit from behind with a chair is some of my favorite super chats. Yes, mine too. Food High, MJF tweet about Danhausen being signed. I'm all ready for the reunion between the two of them. Ed Weber puts in quotes, gotta be a better rationale. I know. I should know better by now. I need to stop saying that. I need to stop expecting there to be a better rationale for these things. Dr. NXT Scorpio, I think we're all caught up after yours. If Alicia Fox and Summer Rae are considered WWE legends, then screw it. I am a WWE legend too by that logic. No, you're not, because you never worked for them. They were employed by WWE. You were not. That's the difference. And Bob the Builder says, D'Antoni is Hogan. You are Savage. You goddamn right I'm Savage. Jackalope Music, member for 10 months. I'm not sure what I want to see more. The Pophausen or the Spot of the Night. You need to make sure that you watch the Cody and Sammy match. That match was absolutely fucking insane. How Sammy was able to come back out later in the show for that segment where he was showing the cue cards heading into the commercial break and wasn't in the back with 15 ice packs on his body, I'll never know. Hey, Stinga in the chat says, love the show. Heard you first on Wade Keller. Well, thank you. Yeah, I was on a whole bunch of Torch shows with Wade. I enjoyed it. It was very cool to be on with him. So I think we're all caught up now. A lot of fun questions and comments from all of you. Hope you enjoyed the very summery theme. I think I did a better job of making this show feel like summer than AEW did. But this was their beach break episode. Again, it opened strong. It closed with a pretty good match. And a lot of the stuff in the middle I really wasn't overly impressed with. It really was all about the ladder match tonight. No cap. I believe no cap. There it is. No cap just became a channel. I do look like I'm naked. Let me take this off. We don't want to put anybody through that. No cap just became a channel member, a Sound Off superstar. Thank you, no cap. Abdul Rahman has been a channel member for 9 months. He says, Gunther is way more intimidating than your average name, Walter. I used to feel that way when Walter first debuted, and he made a believer out of me. So I said on the podcast, he'll be fine. Again, he's another one. He's not buried. He goes out there and wrestles like Walter. He'll be fine. But changing the name when he's already been working for the company for 3 years is fucking stupid. And you will never convince me otherwise. I had people throw it in my face. Well, here's why they did it. You know, they want to own the name. Yes, I know that. I've been doing this podcast for what's going to be 15 years. I'm well aware of why WWE changes people's names. I don't need you to tell me why. I just need you to admit that it's fucking dumb. And if they were going to do it, they should have done it 3 years ago. They should have done it 3 years ago with the idea that whatever contract he was on, that he might sign a contract with us one day. He might be on the main roster. He's already been on Raw. He was in a Survivor Series once. 3 years later, they change his name. Fucking dumb. Stupid. Michael Darcy, who is the wrestler that has made you laugh the most? Who is the wrestler that has made me laugh the most? The first one I think of, probably The Rock. I mean, The Rock has got to be up there, you know? Dev to Dust with the $2. Heat or Die Hard? Oh, two of my favorites. But Die Hard. Armed Anderson, look at that. Yeah, I go with Die Hard. DJT says, Salamasser, I can't swim. You should have learned. You should have come to me. I could have given you lessons. I can swim. I got my certification years ago. I can't do the backstroke. But I can swim. I can teach you how to swim. Or doggy paddle, at least. All right. Well, as you guys mock me for my wonderful tan. What are you talking about? My tan. I've been working on this tan for months. Are you kidding me? I love how I'm being criticized for the lack of tan here in the dead of winter. It's almost February. Where the fuck do you think I've been? Where have I gone? I haven't gone on vacation since the Jericho cruise 2 years ago. Where have I gone that I would be getting sun in the middle of January? We're about to get a blizzard here in New York. I don't do none of that fake tanner shit either. See the wrestlers on TV, it runs like orange streaks going down their face. I do it the Sheamus way. Is Salamanser going to do a dive now? No, there will be no diving here. I don't look like the tanning type. Well, you're right. I'm not the tanning type. I wish I could, but when one has fair skin and tries to tan, you end up looking like a ripe tomato. It's not a good look. So we try to avoid that. Anyway, it is Be the Booker time, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the Booker.
It is time to be the Booker. Hey, Bob the Builder just dropped a super chat. Katrina is Miss Elizabeth. Now, Katrina is in a different category. Elizabeth and Katrina are two very different personalities. Two very different people. But let's do this. We will start with the men's WrestleMania main event as we do here on these AEW streams every week. And again, if you are either joining late or you have not already done so, please do remember before you do leave to hit the like button. I don't mention it enough. That's why we had fucking 900 people before and 200 likes, but it does help the stream. So be sure to go ahead and do, even on the archive version, you could pop in and hit the like button. But let's take this for a spin, see what kind of match. This has been a horrendous month for Be the Booker. I mean, these matches have been absolutely terrible. I would love to end on a positive note, as the very creepy Lashley Tongue super chat pops on screen here. We land on Darby Allin. That's a new one. All right. All right. Darby Allin. Oh, I would laugh if it lands on Sting. I would laugh if it lands on Sting. We got Darby Allin in the WrestleMania main event against Dave Batista. What do you think about that as a WrestleMania main event? What do you think? Buzzer worthy? You know what? I actually think Darby Allin and Dave Batista, you know what? I'm going to call that a winner. I'll take it. That's an interesting one. I'm gonna say that one makes the cut. I like that one. Now I'm afraid to go to the ladies here and see where this is gonna land. This never seems to work out well. But let's see. What do we get for the women's WrestleMania main event? We land on Maryse. The lovely Maryse. Just celebrated her 39th birthday the other day. Had a big birthday party on Raw. Looking as spectacular as ever. And Maryse, former women's champion, stepping into the ring to go one-on-one with Io Shirai. Io Shirai against Maryse. We did it. We got a couple of good ones this week. I'll take it. I'll take it. Compared to the match that I could have picked, I will take Io Shirai against Maryse. I will not complain about Io Shirai against Maryse. We did good, guys. We did good. Better than we've been doing. Better than we've been doing. It might not be, it might not be five stars, but if Io is in that match, and Maryse, look, Maryse is no slouch. Maryse will not be mistaken for, you know, Manami Toyota or anything like that, but Io will make it work. That D in the chat says Rumble predictions. There is a video up. I did Rumble predictions already on episode 740 this weekend. The clip is on the channel. And I will likely go through them again during the SmackDown stream on Friday night. So that is where you can go to get the Royal Rumble predictions. Of course, when I did the predictions, that was before this the rumor mill started with Ronda Rousey. But I'll talk more about the Rumble on Friday. Dr. NXT Scorpio just chimed in with $5. We finally got winners. Thank you, Booker. Bye-bye, January. Yeah, I'm hoping we have a better month in February when it comes to that segment. Turtlehead, appreciate the free tickets to the gun show. Well, you know, you don't want to give it away too often here. I appreciate you and that chicken chest for all that you do. Chicken chest. Chicken legs, not chicken chest. What kind of chicken chest are you talking about here? There's one of our other new super chats. How do you not clip that image? They put that word on screen with that image of him. I mean, the super chat just makes itself. Bob the Builder, the Sammy Guevara pick next to you is creepy. You know, it's one of the few Sammy Guevara, like, good images that one can find. So hopefully there'll be a less creepy one that I can use in the future. Paul Heyman. Can you see AEW signing Taya and Johnny Drip Drip? Yeah, I could see it. Of course. Taya is very good. We know what John Morrison is capable of. You know, Taya would be another good addition to the women's division. She's got a lot of experience. So can I see it? Yes, I can see it. I definitely see Keith Lee ending up there, but those two coming in, yeah, I could see that. And don't forget, you still got Cross and Scarlett. They're going to be available in the next couple of weeks. They'll be free of their non-compete, and who knows where they're going to end up. There's a whole list of people whose non-competes, their 90 days, are coming up in the next few weeks, and I'm going to run through that list on the podcast this weekend. And we'll talk a little bit about that and who's going to be available soon, where they might end up. It's a whole list in February. It's a whole bunch of people who are going to become free agents. Luis, does anyone know if a giant appetite is a symptom of COVID? No, I've not heard that. I think that might just be, an eating habit that you have to get in check. I don't know that you can blame that on COVID, but you know, maybe your symptoms are different than other people's. It is a virus that did not exist, 2.5 years ago. So we don't know all that there is to know about it. Bob the Builder, $2. It looks like you are looking at his tongue. All right, I could see why that might look a little creepy. Rojo Bear. Member for 5 months, channel member. Do you guys, Briscoes will debut at Revolution? I'm starting to think that we are not getting the Briscoes in AEW. I'm starting to think that this Briscoes FTR match is actually going to happen in Ring of Honor at that first event that they're supposed to have back right before WrestleMania weekend. That's what I'm starting to think. Which I think would be insane. You know, if they're available, not to bring them in to be part of the tag team division in AEW. Jackalope is a big fan of Luis. Yeah, Luis has a lot of fans in the chat. That's why we need him to get well. Marcus informs Luis that it is not necessarily a symptom of COVID, but it is definitely a symptom of the Kush. I have heard that. Briscoes to WWE, says Paul Heyman. Yes, absolutely. We'll get the new Bushwhackers, so that way we can, This will be Jay and Mark coming down to the ring. Yeah. It's going to be Jay and Mark. They're going to go around licking people. There you go. That'll be the Briscoes in WWE. Bushwhacker Jay and Bushwhacker Mark. Solomon, sir, do you like Mexican food? Some Mexican food, yeah. I don't like spicy food. So there's a lot of Mexican food that I don't like. The occasional trip to the Mexican restaurant is always fun. Unless you eat something that you're not supposed to, and then it's not so fun. But you know what I love about some of these Mexican restaurants? It was just that one, actually. I got together with friends about a month ago. And, we ended up at this place out on Long Island. And I forgot the name of it. I think it was Capacho. And what I love about the Mexican restaurants is that when you have to use the bathroom, at least at this place, you have the best bathrooms. I walked back there were so many stalls. Each one is private. It's nice and spacious. And why not, right? Because you're going to probably have a fucking exploding volcano in there. I mean, you're eating Mexican food. So when you go, like, the bathrooms are immaculate. And you have total privacy. And there's so many of them. I walk back there. I'm like, oh, my God, this is fantastic. It's like, this is amazing. Then you go to some other, right? You go to, like, a diner or something. You have some fucking shitty bathroom with no toilet seat. You know, that looks like you wouldn't want to come within 10 feet of it. You probably get about 5 sexually transmitted diseases just by sitting down on it. Zantara says the sheep herders were so awesome. It was weird when they debuted as the Bushwhackers. Yeah, but you know what? They're going to be remembered as the Bushwhackers, and they're in the Hall of Fame for being the Bushwhackers. So, You know, that's what happened. WWE went national, and that's what people watched. And very few people, by comparison, saw them as the sheep herders. So all the money they made, like probably the most money they made in their career, was made as the Bushwhackers, I'm guessing, and not as the sheep herders. Paul Heyman says, Solomons are unleashing Hiroshima in the toilet. As somebody else, I just saw somebody else say, if you have good Mexican food, then that shouldn't be an issue. But, you know, again, when you can't have like cheese and cream and stuff like that, and you do, that's why there's a lot of Mexican cuisine I would love to have, but I can't have anymore. Don Juan, I'm not going to read that, but thank you for the $1.99. I appreciate that. The Coug said that's Taco Bell 30 minutes later. Yeah. JM. Dropping 10. I was really expecting Ollie J on Dynamite tonight. I will go to Twitter to express my displeasure with some of the Johnny Gargano fans. I did not know who Ollie J was until I saw her step out of that SUV on NXT last night. When Carmelo Hayes came out, opened the door for her, and she came walking out. Wow. How she didn't tip over, I'll never know. That's all I'll say. Jared M. with the $5. Do you think Hogan would be... Oh, do I think Hogan would have done business against Brett in the fall of 99 if Bischoff wasn't told to go home in August of 99? I think probably. I mean, Hogan did work Brett, right? They had at least one match on TV, and I know they worked a few house show matches. I think if push came to shove, they would have worked together. Hogan was the one who had all the power in WCW. So, I don't give a fuck what Eric Bischoff said. You know, Eric Bischoff is like, oh, people think Hogan had all the power. Hogan wasn't going to do anything Hogan didn't want to do. And so, I think Hogan would have felt a lot more comfortable working for Bischoff wrestling Brett than he would have working for Vince if Vince wanted him to wrestle Brett. That's my opinion. Beaver Cleavage returned on NXT last night. I tell you, man, I was blown away. I had never heard of her before. So when she stepped out, I was like, I don't know how she's able to stand upright. I just don't. I don't. The physics of it just didn't make any sense to me, you know? Frost, have I ever tried sushi? Believe it or not, no. Never tried sushi. I've never had a roll. I've never had, you know, I know because I have friends who love sushi. Yeah, the California roll, right? There's one called, isn't there one called Yellowtail or something? Like, I've never tried sushi. Never. Don't have any plans to start. Food Hive, AEW without Cody. That don't work for me, brother. Yeah, I mean, I can't believe that many people bought into this hype last week that Cody would be in the Royal Rumble and, oh, the Forbidden Door. And it's like, it's kind of like the Gargano stuff tonight. All the people who are going to be upset with this show because he didn't show, you know, nobody said he was going to show. People just said, oh, they're in Cleveland, and so he must be there. Nobody ever said he was going to be there. You put these expectations on yourself sometimes. And I fall victim sometimes to the same thing. You know, got the Royal Rumble this week. You know how many Royal Rumbles have come and gone where I was expecting this person to be in the Rumble? You know, oh, Daniel Bryan's not in the Rumble in 2014, but my God, he's the most over guy in the company. Surely he'll end up in the Rumble match as a surprise that night. That was just a boneheaded booking decision. But there are times where I'll fall victim to the same thing and I'll say, oh, this person, you know, this person's got to be there. And then they're not. It's like, well, I set myself up for that. I can't necessarily blame the company. They didn't promise this person. I just imagined that they were going to be there. You put these unrealistic expectations on yourself and you end up disappointing yourself. I'm missing out on sushi. It's great. Look, I'm open to trying it. I just never tried it. I like hibachi. I know, it's very different. Is Ollie J the new Poppy? Yeah, I think they locked Poppy away in the basement of the Performance Center. She's all tied up down there. You know, once Triple H lost power, that was the end of Poppy. Poppy is a Triple H girl. Poppy is a Triple H girl. Vince McMahon and Bruce Pritchard, they like their Ollie J. Which is surprising, because, you know, you would think she's not blonde, so. What about barbecue beef brisket cooked with mesquite wood? That is some great stuff down in Texas. You had me a barbecue beef brisket. When I was in Dallas for WrestleMania in 2016, we stopped at a barbecue joint. I can't for the life of me remember the name of it, but yeah, they just put it down on this whatever, paper, slab or whatever. All the barbecue, just drenched in barbecue sauce. Oh, I was in heaven. The only problem is, of course, if I lived down in Texas and I was eating like that every day, I'd be 350 fucking pounds. So, the way that I ate at some of those places, but the food down there was amazing. The food down there in Texas was amazing. Bliss fan, what's going on? Bianca fans will be pissed when Ronda faces Becky. Yeah, I don't feel as confident about my Bianca pick now for the Rumble. I'm going to stick with it, but I feel a little less confident now. Because if she's in it, I mean, if Ronda's in the Rumble, then how does she not win? I mean, it just, you know, she could be at the Rumble, not necessarily in the Rumble. You know, she could show up after Becky's match with Doudrop just to confront her. It doesn't mean she has to be in the Rumble match. But again, if you're introducing Becky, or rather, if you're introducing Ronda, even if she doesn't wrestle on Saturday, if she's there and she confronts Becky in some way, that's the match. Like, that's the match. And so either way, Bianca then is you know, either going to have to get her match before Mania, or she's just, you know, left out in the cold. Although, she could always win and challenge Charlotte for the championship. She and Charlotte had a damn good TV match a few months ago. So, I mean, there's a lot of different ways they can go with it. I'm going to stick with Bianca, though, as my pick. Chris Manson, fashionably late as always, but here's $5 because why not? Thank you, Chris. Always good to hear from Chris. And Rizzo with the $5. Always love stopping by this chat and the reviews after I get home from work. Gargano, I assumed, would be off until Candace had a baby. And you would guess correct. Bianca could beat Becky at SummerSlam in her hometown. Yeah, I guess SummerSlam is in it's in Nashville, I think, right? That's an awful long time to wait, though. What do you do with her in the meantime? That division is so weak. I don't know. I mean, you're talking about waiting 6 months. Six more months. A lot can happen between now and then. Could Roddy be a surprise at the Rumble? I don't know why he would be. I think that would be a waste of a spot. I mean, does anybody in their right mind believe that Roderick Strong on the main roster is going to be anything but an afterthought? I mean, come on. It would be a waste of a Rumble spot. LA Knight? I could see that. I wouldn't mind that. But I feel like they're going to need more women from NXT to fill in the women's match than the men. I think they have enough men to make their Rumble match work without having to dive too deep into the NXT roster. The women, they're going to need as many as they can drum up. Seeing Thunder Rosa take Dave LaGreca and his wife out in Texas to a barbecue joint and LaGreca just downing that meat was hilarious. It was on her blog. Yeah. I think that would be fun. I think that would be fun to go to do one of Thunder Rose's blogs and go out to a restaurant and have her introduce me to some food or cuisine that I've never eaten before and eat for the first time. I feel like hanging out with Thunder Rosa for one of those videos at a restaurant somewhere would be fun. Right, what does she do? She does like Taco Tuesdays or something. I saw she did like a video with Mick Foley eating tacos at a restaurant somewhere recently. Chris, by the way, I don't know what people are saying, but I love Rhonda. Lash Legend. Lash Legend in the Royal Rumble? Oh my God. Gabriella says Thunder Rosa loves those tacos. I'll bet. Solomonster just wants a date with Thunder Rosa. She's married. Isn't she a married woman? No, Thunder Rosa is cool. Thunder Rosa is cool. Nick Grasso, $4.99. Did you think Paige will return at the Rumble? That's an interesting one. Everybody seems to be getting cleared to come back. Even Corey Graves. Corey Graves may make a cameo in the Men's Rumble on Saturday. It'd probably be a quick one, but from what we understand, he's cleared to wrestle if he wants. I think it's absolutely possible that Paige, if she's not already, will get cleared, since everybody else who I in some cases never thought would ever get cleared by this company again has managed to get cleared. I know she's got the scoliosis as well and all that, and would she be in the Rumble on Saturday as a surprise? I don't think so. I don't think she'll be in it. But if she's being kept as a surprise, then it would be a well-kept surprise. They should keep her hidden away in a van somewhere, you know? I'm hoping they could still pull a surprise or two out of their hat. You know, we've heard about the Ronda rumors, and they've already announced Lita and people like that. But I'm hoping they save some surprises. You know, I've said I think Sean Waltman would probably be a surprise appearance in the Rumble. You know, so I think we'll get a few. Hopefully they can keep one or two good ones under wraps. Paige has been tweeting a lot about Britt Baker and AEW. Well, it's fine. Nothing wrong with acknowledging people in other companies whose work you appreciate. Mr. Notorious Dez is one of our new channel members tonight. Or at least the legend. I think he upgraded. But Dez, what's going on? Do you see Undertaker appearing at the Rumble on Saturday? No. No. I think people are reading too much into these headlines about Undertaker being in St. Louis on Saturday. His wife is in the Royal Rumble. It's like a few years ago when Michelle McCool was in the Rumble. And in the Undertaker's documentary series, they showed him backstage at the Rumble, right? He was watching and he was getting the itch again. Hopefully he doesn't get that itch to come back again to WrestleMania this year. He's going to be there, but he's going to be there to root on his wife. No, I don't expect to see Undertaker in the Royal Rumble. Favorite Sasha moment, her match with Bayley at TakeOver Brooklyn. The whole match. All right, guys. Again, if you tuned in late, just for those who are not aware, tomorrow at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, I am planning on hosting the next episode, the next installment of Better Call Solomonster. I'll open up the phone lines. You guys can call in. It'll be very much like the conversation we're having here. Try to answer as many calls as I can. We do these periodically. It is now going to be an exclusive for channel members going forward. So again, around 8:30 tomorrow night, I will let you guys know. We will be live. Of course, I'll be live again for SmackDown and Rampage on Friday night. And then live on Saturday for the Royal Rumble. One of our biggest streams of the year for one of the biggest shows of the year. One of my favorite shows. Even though we've gotten some crappy Rumbles over the last several years, I still enjoy the Rumble ever since I was a wee fan. The Rumble is always fun. And the card, not for nothing, that they put together for this weekend. The two title matches, Roman and Seth, Lashley and Lesnar is the one that I'm waiting for. You got the Rumble matches. On paper, even Becky and Doudrop as a match, I think, could be very good. We've seen what Doudrop can do in the ring with Bianca Belair in the series of matches that they had. I think it's a solid card on paper, and the two title matches are excellent. So I am looking forward to the Royal Rumble on Saturday. I'm hoping for a good show. I hope I don't have to lace into it, but I will be here for the review. I'm going to be hosting the Wrestle Rumble custom belt giveaway. They got some cool-ass belts that they're giving away. You got to go to WrestleRumble.com, enter that contest. It's $1. It's $1. You can enter as many times as you want. It's only $1 to enter each time. You got the custom Edge Rated R belt. You've got two Royal Rumble Moments belts. He literally had moments from Royal Rumble history etched into their own plates on two different custom belts. We're going to be picking three winners at random right here live on the stream. It could be you. So come on by Saturday night. And of course, on Sunday, it'll be episode 741. Of the podcast. So be well, stay safe. Thank you for hanging out on the beach. Let me get my towel here. I got my bathing suit on too. Or do I? Put my towel on here. I'm going to put my flip-flops back on. It's getting cold. It's getting a little breezy. We're going to head home here from the beach. And I will see you guys tomorrow night for the call-in show and then Friday night for SmackDown and this weekend for the Royal Rumble. So until then, take care, guys.